Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Saintly persons, sadhus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They have no other interest. Why should people neglect the association of such exalted spiritual personalities and try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are rich and proud? Just read the purport. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A sadhu is one who is engaged in devotional service to the Lord without deviation. Bhajate mam ananya bhak. Tatikshiva karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata satrava. Sorry. Satrava santa sarva sadhubhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu is that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, text 25, chapter 25, text 21. A sadhu is Surida Sarvadehinam, the friend of everyone. Why then should the rich, instead of associating with sadhus, waste their valuable time in association with other rich men who are averse to spiritual life? Both the poor man and the rich man can take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement, and here it is advised that everyone do so. There is no profit in avoiding the association of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Sat Sangi Chadi Kainu Asate Vilas Te Karana Lagila Ye Karma Banda Pansa. If we give up the association of sadhus, saintly persons engaged in Krishna consciousness, and associate with persons seeking sense gratification and accumulating wealth for this purpose, our life is spoiled. The word asat refers to an avaishnava, one who is not a devotee of Krishna. And sat refers to a vaishnava, Krishna's devotee. One should always seek the association of vaishnavas and not spoil one's life by mixing with avaishnavas. In Bhagavad Gita 7.15, the distinction between Vaishnava and Avaishnava is enunciated. Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama maya paditjana asuram bhavam ashritaha. Anyone who is not surrendered to Krishna is a most sinful person, duskriti, a rascal, mudha, and the lowest of men, naradama. Therefore, one should not avoid the association of Vaishnavas, which is now available all over the world in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. Saintly persons, sadhus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They have no other interest. Why should people neglect the association of such exalted spiritual personalities and try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are proud and rich? Jai, Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Okay. So bear with me, I'm struggling a bit. Om Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Jai, Hare Krishna. All right, so there's a lot of things to talk about here. This is one of the fundamental principles of Krishna consciousness is to associate with devotees. It's actually a common sense principle for anything or for anyone who wants to achieve anything in life is that you associate with people who are expert in that thing. If you want to be a footballer, you go to a football academy and associate with people who can teach you about football, right? So if you want to have a spiritual life, then you come to the Krishna consciousness movement and associate with Vaishnavas. So Asat Sangha Chag, A Vaishnav Achar. This is the principle. Sorry. A Vaishnava always avoids the association of non-devotees. So, That association can come in very many various forms. You may avoid the physical association of non-devotees, but the whole world out there is filled with asat sangha. So if you have a television at home, you're engaging in asat sangha. If you have a radio in your car, you're listening to asat sangha. If you go online, if you go watch a movie at the cinema, this is all asat sangha. Right? This is all association of those who are averse to the principles of Krishna consciousness. So, these things should as much as possible be avoided. If you go to any devotee's house, most devotees have got a TV. So, we're all taking that association to one degree or another. Right? It's very difficult actually to completely avoid asat sangha. But, like all the principles in Krishna consciousness, it's something that we should gradually give up. When someone is a drug addict, you can either give up drugs, like say a heroin addict. You can give up drugs by going cold turkey, right, cutting it off, and going through the suffering. Or you can gradually give it up. So for most of us, well, all of us are to one degree or another addicted to sense gratification. But it has to be given up. And if you can't give it up overnight, renounce entirely the material world, then you have to give it up slowly. It's like drug addicts will take methadone. It'll be an alternative to taking heroin. And they'll gradually wean themselves off it. So we have to wean ourselves off this asat sangha. But if you can, stop it today. Right? Don't watch television. Don't watch movies. Don't listen to the radio. Because it's all rubbish. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said, every thought that came out of the mind of man is averse to the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. So you're not going to get enlightened by watching EastEnders or the 9 o'clock news. So it's interesting here, in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada, he says, why then should the rich, instead of associating with sadhus, waste their valuable time in association with other rich men who are averse to spiritual life? So the association of wealthy materialistic people is not only not recommended for, let's say, for sadhus, or aspiring sadhus, the association of rich men is also not recommended even for rich men. Even the rich should give up the association of the rich, right? Because, as it says in the verse, most of them are proud, right? And there's nothing which is less conducive for developing a relationship with Krishna than pride. This is the symptom of a materialistic person, is that they're proud. That's why the first thing you do when you come in the temple is you bow down, to give up your false ego, right? Give up your pride. So, by associating with those who are proud, we also become proud. There's a very nice story of Srila Prabhupada when he was going to a rich man's house in India. I forget where, maybe in Bombay, Mumbai. And Prabhupada was standing outside the house, and he seemed to be praying before he went into the house. So he's asked him, oh, Srila Prabhupada, what was that? What were you doing? He said, I was just praying to Krishna that I wouldn't fall down in the association of these materialistic people. So if Srila Prabhupada was careful of the association of rich men, what to speak of ourselves? Right. Should be avoided. Excuse me. So the verse here, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting a verse, Sat Sanga Chadi Kainu Asate Vilas. This is from a song by Narottam Das Thakur called Gorapahu. Now this is a verse which Srila Prabhupada quoted very, very, very often. Many, many lectures, Srila Prabhupada quotes this song by Narottam Das Thakur. And in many places in the Bhagavatam, it's in the second canto, the fourth canto, the fifth canto, in the seventh canto, in the eighth canto, Srila Prabhupada quotes this. this song. So I'm just going to read a quote from a lecture here in London, September 17th, 1969. It's a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, fifth chapter, chapter 2. Satsanga chadi kainu asate vilas, te karane lagila ye karama banda fansa. People are now engaged in hard working. Actually, human life should be very easy, no hard work. Living very simple life and eating very healthy food. Living in open space, no quarrel, no antagonism. Everyone is happy, everyone is free. That is human civilization, not to become entangled. So, actually, we are, by advancing the materialistic way of life, for the time being, we may feel happy, but we do not know how much risk we are taking in our life. That science is not yet discussed. That science is described in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you hear also, we have begun, that this life is not meant for simply sense gratification with hard labor. No, this life is meant for restraining, tapa. We have to restrain our business of sense gratification. Without restraining our business of sense gratification, it is not possible to make ourselves liberated. That is not possible. This is entanglement. Satsanga chadi kaino asate vilas. If people give up the association of this Krishna consciousness society and they simply indulge in the sense gratificatory process, then more and more they'll be entangled. Satsanga chadi kaino asate vilas. Te karane lagila. Ye karma bandhavans. People are now entangled in hard working. Actually, human life should be very easy, no hard work. Living very simple life and eating very healthy food. Living in open space, no quarrel, no antagonism. Everyone is happy, everyone is free. That is human civilization, not to become entangled. But at the present moment, we have become entangled. So Rishabhdev says that, Mahat Sevam Doram Ahovrimukte. If we actually want liberation from this entanglement, then we should associate with Mahatmas, great souls. And who is a great soul? That is being described. So, here in the purport and here in this, Srila Prabhupada is talking about minimizing our needs, living simply, right? So obviously one of Prabhupada's fundamental principles is plain living, high thinking. Actually, that's one of, not very well known in ISKCON, but that's actually one of Gandhi's quotes. He's got simple living, high thinking is from Gandhi. So that was Gandhi's principle, was village economics, simple living, high thinking. So Srila Prabhupada also followed that principle. we were trying in ISKCON to get to develop, right, we have farm communities with varying degrees, with varying degrees of success. But one of the things that puts people off the idea of simple living, high thinking, farm communities is the thought that it's always hard work, right? If you talk to devotees about farming, especially farm communities, oh, it's hard work, Prabhu. You know, hard work. But it's interesting. I was reading a book. It's a non-devotee book, sorry. It's a very interesting book called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. There's a lot of history in it. So there's a section in this book which I found to be very interesting because it discusses this point about simple living or the life of a farmer, a life of, let's say, self-sufficiency. Because we have this impression that nowadays we have an easy life because we have, like, labor-saving devices, we have, you know, washing machines, anyway, you know, blah, 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 gizmos and gadgets to do everything for us. We kind of have this impression that we have an easy life. But actually, people in the past did a lot less work than we do. People nowadays are working much harder than people were in the past. So I'm just going to read a section from this book. It's very interesting. It says, "Or consider the life of a peasant in 18th century Europe. Men and women in those days probably worked from dawn till noon for 200 days a year." Right? So half a day for about 200 days a year. Which works out to about 1,200 hours of work annually. During harvest or spring planting, the day may be longer. In the winter, much less. In The Discovery of France, the historian Graham Robb argues that peasant life in the country like France, even well into the 19th century, was essentially brief periods of work followed by long periods of idleness. 99% of all human activity described in this and other accounts of French country life, he writes, took place between late spring and early autumn. So people only worked basically spring till autumn. In the summertime, most of the work was done. So in the winter, they didn't work at all. In the Pyrenees and the Alps, entire villages would essentially hibernate from the time of the first snow in November until March or April. In more temperate regions of France, where temperatures in the winter rarely fell below freezing, the same pattern held. In the fields of Flanders, the fields of Flanders were deserted for much of the year. An official report on the in 1844, described the strange mutation of the Burgundian day laborer once the harvest was in and the vine stocks had been burned. So this is wine harvesters, right? It says, after making the necessary repairs to their tools, these vigorous men will now spend their days in bed, packing their bodies tightly together in order to stay warm and eat less food. They weaken themselves deliberately. Human hibernation was a physical and economic necessity. Lowering the metabolic rate prevented hunger from exhausting supplies. People trudged and dawdled even in summer. After the revolution, officials complained that wine growers and independent farmers, instead of undertaking some peaceful and sedentary industry in the quieter season, abandoned themselves to dumb idleness. Now, the point is that we have this impression that farming is hard work, you know, that it's a lot of labor, labor intensive. It's labor intensive in the spring and in the autumn, right? That's the only time when it's really hard work. In the summertime, everything's growing. In the wintertime, there's actually nothing to do, right? That's why Srila Prabhupada emphasized so strongly this idea of farm communities, where you can actually avoid this asat sangha of the material world. Because, you know, for all of us who live outside a temple environment, it's practically impossible to avoid asat sangha to some extent. You know, as soon as you jump in your car and go out onto the road. You're kind of thrown into that soup of ego and ignorance that is the roads, right? When you drive on the roads, everyone is very arrogant, everyone is very selfish, everyone is very rude, all these very asat qualities. And vehicles, cars, because they are produced of these lower modes of rajas and tamas, they bring out the worst in us. I'm sure we've all experienced, anyone who's ever been in a car, I can't imagine any of us haven't been in a car, when you're driving, it brings out the worst in you, right? Even, you know, you come out of the temple, you'd be, ah, Jai Prabhu, Hare Krishna. You get out on the road, it's like, right? Because that's the modes, right? You get affected by those modes. So what we need is a community which is separate from all of that, where we can really, really engage in, you know, satsanga, and only satsanga. So that was Prabhupada's vision, right? He had this vision of Gita Nagari, a community based on the principles of Bhagavad Gita, where, you know, Prabhupada always says it. It's just work a little bit, right? You just work as much as you need. You grow your food, you do your planting, whatever it is. So like that, half a day for 200 days a year, that's not very much work. And if you finish your day's work at noon, you have plenty of time, you can chant as many rounds as you want, you can read, you can do kirtan, you can associate with devotees. Right? It leaves you actually much more time. Whereas if you're working now, you're talking about the average working week is 40 hours, right? Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 is like 40 hours a week. So that's about almost twice as much work as people were doing. And this is under the feudal system, right? The feudal system was considered to be a very exploitative system where the peasants were basically like slaves, right? They were under the yoke of the aristocracy, right? So even then, even under the feudal system, the people were doing half as much work in a year on average that people are doing now. So you can imagine how, you know, under the yoke we are now. Because really the feudal system never really went away, right? The same people are still controlling the society. It's just that now, instead of working in the fields, people are working in Tesco's, right? They just beep, 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 beep. They just do that all day instead of, you know, doing half a day's work in the fields. So we haven't really gained anything by, you know, leaving the countryside, moving into the cities. Like, we've got things like this, right? But, you know, they don't make you happy, do they? They don't make me happy anyway. So, I'm sorry. So yeah, that life, simple life, simple living, high thinking is actually the lifestyle which is conducive for sadhu sangha, simply because you have more time. You have time on your hands. So what are you going to do with your time? Obviously, you're going to engage in Krishna service. You do something practical. If your actual work is finished, then you can sit down and do something which is beneficial for the self, right? For the soul. Maybe you sit down and do a bhajan. You can read a book, chant. Excuse me. There's another quote. There's many, many quotes on this Narottam Das Thakur song, Gaurapahu, from Srila Prabhupada. Another one from a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, text, chapter 28, text 1, in Honolulu, 1975. Srila Prabhupada says, so the real purpose is that we should give up this asatpata. Asatpata and satpata. Here it is said, satpatam. Satpatam means our permanent goal of life. We are now interested with non-permanent goal of life. People are thinking, if I get a nice car, a nice apartment, a nice wife, a nice bank balance, then I will be happy. But this is asat, because none of this will stay. The bank balance will not stay. The wife also will not stay. And good position, that will not. As soon as the body is finished, everything is finished. Therefore they are called asat. Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Satsanga chadi kainu asate vilas te karani lagila mor karma banda fans. Satsanga. Satsanga means persons who are making progress towards the permanent life. They are called sat. Just like this Krishna consciousness movement. This movement means we are training our disciples how to make progress towards permanent life. And the material world means they are making progress towards non-permanent life. So those who are intelligent, they are not interested in non-permanent life. And those who are foolish, mudha, they are interested in this temporary life. And they do not know what is there after death. Neither they have got any knowledge of the spirit. What is matter? Ignorance. In darkness. Right? So, Srila Prabhupada saying in this purport, therefore, no one should avoid the association of Vaishnavas, which is now available all over the world in the form of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So, when Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON, he set up a society, as you know, 1966. He incorporated ISKCON, and it had seven purposes. All right? Seven purposes of ISKCON. So I'm just going to read them, because they're very interesting. I think it's something which we don't really think about enough, maybe the seven purposes of ISKCON. So, number one, is to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. So that's already very profound. To systematically propagate spiritual knowledge, Srila Prabhupada's already talking about saving the world, just in the first purpose of ISKCON, is to achieve real unity and peace in the world. Number two is to propagate a consciousness of Krishna, God, as it is revealed in the great scriptures of India, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Three, to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus developing the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. Four, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Five, to erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. Six, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. And seven, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. So it's quite interesting. Out of these seven purposes of ISKCON, twice Srila Prabhupada mentions in the third purpose and the sixth purpose, bringing devotees closer together. Right? Bringing the devotees closer together. To bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus developing the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead. And number six is to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. All right. So extremely fundamental, right? To bring the devotees closer together. Like in ISKCON, I think over the years there's been an emphasis on things, right? Getting things done, doing things, like projects, like building temples, distributing books, you know, putting on festivals, whatever it may be. And sometimes there can be an overemphasis on getting the thing done rather than looking after the devotees. Because these things, as Srila Prabhupada says in the seventh one, is with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish, distribute periodicals, magazines, books, etc. Right? So, in other words, the preaching mission is not the goal in itself. Right? It's not that the goal of ISKCON is just to distribute books and then bring in more people and send them out to distribute books and then bring more people and send them out to distribute books. Right? The goal of ISKCON, the goal of the Krishna Conscious Movement, is for us, ourselves, to become Krishna Conscious. Right? That's the point. That we become sadhu and associate together to advance ourselves in spiritual life. That's actually the purpose of the society. Right? To live a simple life and become Krishna conscious. So it's very important that we don't put projects before people. Right? We have to maintain the idea that, you know, the devotees are the most important thing in ISKCON. Because what is a society without the members? So looking after the devotees, cultivating good relationships, right, engaging in sadhu sangha together, this is actually the purpose of ISKCON. All right, it's very important not to get lost in maintenance and forget the mission. Right? You can't just concentrate on maintaining the temple and forget about the wider mission, spreading the Sankirtan movement. But it's also important not to get lost in the mission and forget about the devotees. Right? So looking after the devotees is fundamental. One of my theories is that in the past, understandably, because ISKCON was a lot of youngsters, that there was a strong influence of the mode of passion in what ISKCON was doing. So there was a lot of kind of like, you know, fired up, rah, 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 get out there, distribute books, Jai Prabhu, do big, all that stuff. And as we know, the mode of passion starts off like nectar and ends in poison. So a lot of those big projects, which were kind of based on money, a lot of them collapsed. A lot of them are not really functioning very well now. You know, big projects like, say, for example, New Mayapur. It's empty, right? No devotees. So the sattvic way of life, right? Sattva maintains, right? So we need to cultivate this sattvic way of life and you know, cultivate and spread Krishna consciousness in a sattvic way. Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Jai Sita Ramakrishna Hanuman, Jai Shri Shri Gaurantai. So this is fundamental, right? Association of devotees in sattva with a goal towards self-purification, right? A person in the mode of goodness acts for their own purification. So when we go out for Sankirtan, when we go Harinam, whatever it may be, the goal should be our own purification. Not necessarily that we're thinking that we're so advanced that we're going to go out and purify the world, but at least to try and purify ourselves. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, the root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees, sadhu sangha. Even when one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees, sadhu sangha, is still most essential. So this principle is to be found everywhere. Again, it's a fundamental principle. In Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Pranipatina Parprashnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Gyanam Gyaninas Tatvadarshinaha, right? One of the first verses that we learn when we come to the temple. This is teaching how to associate with the sadhu, right? To inquire submissively and render service. Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastri Koi, Rava Macha Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi. The virtue of revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. All right, so anyway, throughout the scriptures, throughout Srila Prabhupada's writings, this principle is enunciated. You could basically go on all day talking about Sadhu Sangha. It is the fundamental principle of spiritual life. I've just moved house, so I lost all my books. They're all in storage somewhere. I can't find it. But there's a book, which I was trying to find yesterday. Gaugavinda Maharaj wrote a book called Sadhu Sangha, The Birthplace of Bhakti. Right? I wanted to read something from that book. But this is Sadhu Sangha, Birthplace of Bhakti. So it's fundamental from the beginning, from the first time maybe you get a book on the street, maybe you see devotees, you come to the temple, someone says, here, chant this mantra. Right? That's the beginning of Sadhu Sangha, to engaging in service, taking initiation, worshipping the deity, okay, to actually attaining the higher realms of Krishna consciousness. The principle is to be attracted to someone, one of Krishna's associates, and to follow in their footsteps. All right, this is Sadhu Sangha in the higher realms. Okay. So this principle carries the devotee right through spiritual life from the very beginning to the very end. There's a quote I wanted to read. I just got it on my phone. This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, those that think devotion to God and kindness to the jivas, souls, are mutually different from each other and perform accordingly in their life, such persons will not be able to follow the devotional culture. Their performances are only a semblance of devotion. Therefore, all types of beneficence to others, like kindness, friendliness, forgiveness, charity, respect, and so on, are included in bhakti. The actions of respect, friendliness, and kindness are the very form of love and the characteristic portion of bhakti. Charity of medicine, clothes, food, water, etc., shelter during adversities, teaching of academic and spiritual education, etc., are the activities included in the devotional culture. Right? So sometimes we think that, you know, spiritual life means neglecting all these things. We can maybe be a bit overly renounced. For example, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was walking with his disciples, and there were beggars, like on Parikram, there were beggars, and if the Grihasthas wouldn't give some money to the beggars, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would chastise them, said, why are you not giving something? And they would say, oh, you know, this is charity in the mode of ignorance, maybe he's going to spend it on intoxication, we don't know. And say, no, this is your duty. Otherwise you become hard-hearted. You have to give. You know, the duty of a Grihastha is to give. If you have something, you have to share it. And we shouldn't use the fact that we're preaching or whatever as an excuse not to follow that simple dharma of just giving, right? Being generous. So in Sajjan Toshini, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also writes, exhibiting compassion towards living entities is of three kinds. Display of compassion in regard to the gross body of the living entities is counted among pious activities. Distributing free food to the hungry people, distributing free medicine to the diseased persons, distributing free water to the thirsty people, and distributing clothes to persons who are afflicted with cold are all born from compassion in regard to the body. Giving free education is born from compassion in regard to the mind of the living entities. But the highest kind of compassion is in regard to the soul of the living entities. From such compassionate propensity, the eagerness for delivering the fallen souls from the miseries of material existence by awarding them the devotional service to Krishna is produced. All right. So, compassion. So out of compassion, Srila Prabhupada came to the West, brought the Krishna conscious movement. Out of compassion, devotees took the trouble to go out, spread the Krishna conscious movement. So out of compassion, we should also do our best to do the same and give our association. So there's lots of ways nowadays, especially with the lovely internet, there's lots of ways that you can right? Give association. A lot of people with a lot of different views on life just go online, make their own videos, stick it on YouTube, all right? So devotees can also do that. You can just sit down in front of your computer, right? Speak something on Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and put it on YouTube. You know, maybe someone sees it, gets inspired. So there are a lot of ways of giving our association to people nowadays. The internet is a tool that devotees could use more. Anyone can do it, as long as you have something to say. If you just repeat what Srila Prabhupada is saying, then it will be for the benefit of people in general. It's all right, leave it. It's only a Kami book. In the translation of the song, Bhaja Hure Mana, it says, O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, which make one fearless. Having obtained this rare human birth, cross over this ocean of worldly existence by associating with saintly persons. Day and night I remain sleepless, suffering heat and cold, wind and rain. For a bit of flickering happiness, I have vainly served wicked and miserly men. What assurance of real happiness is there in all of one's wealth, youth, sons, and relatives? This life totters like a drop of water on a lotus petal. Therefore, you should always worship the lotus feet of Lord Hari. Govindadas longs to hear the glories of Lord Hari. Chant his glories, constantly remember him, offer him prayers, serve his lotus feet, become his servant, worship him, serve him as a friend, and completely offer him his very self. All right. Cross over this ocean of worldly existence by associating with saintly persons. Okay. I have a lot of other notes and things here, but I'm just going to stop there. I do apologize if it's been a little bit disjointed. I'm a little bit sick. I was actually thinking of asking Govinda to give the class instead of me, but I decided to be tough and give the class anyway. But I do apologize if it's a little bit all over the place. So I'll just stop there so we can all go about our business, unless anyone has anything else to say. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.